Okay, show me that you're recording. Good. Welcome, one and all, to the Peace Alliance monthly field call for April 2019. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and it's my pleasure to be here with you tonight. Our agenda for tonight's call is in a few moments, I'm going to introduce Yelena Popovic, who is our Leadership Council lead for Teaching Peace in Schools. And then she's going to introduce our special guests for tonight. We're going to hear from them, Adam Avon and Marnie Becker-Avon. And then we're going to have some discussion and opportunity for questions and answers with Adam and Marnie. Oh, I see Marnie and Adam, Yelena.
Okay, I see that wonderful. They're with us. Okay,
great. Okay, perfect. So after that discussion, then we'll have an update from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee's representative. That'll be Kendra Mann. Then we're going to discuss, we have two actions. Folks who registered more than a half an hour ago should have all received in your inbox a message with two links to our two action sheets for tonight. Okay, so in your email inbox, you should have an email from me. And on that email, there are links to two specific actions. And Yelena and I are going to do some coaching on one action. And Nancy Merritt of the Department of Peacebuilding Committee is going to coach on the second action. So if you want to, at some point in the next half an hour, you might access that email from me and download those two action sheets so you can have them in front of you. And then we'll have an opportunity for some shares from the field, anything that's going on in your life, any announcements or concerns, questions, if you want to update us on what's happening with your campaign activity or local organizing or community peace building, we'd love to hear about it. I know throughout the years that's been very inspiring to me to come on these calls and hear what's going on all over the country. That's the plan for tonight. And now I'm going to introduce Yelena, who I already mentioned, is our council lead on our leadership council for the cornerstone of teaching peace in schools. So you know that peace building is close to her heart. I want you to know a few other things about Yelena. She's a co-founder and co-facilitator at Design to Connect. And Design to Connect is an organization that she clearly runs and founded and works at. They partner with schools, school districts, and nonprofit organizations in creating sustainable, authentic, continuous, circle-based wellness communities for educators. So that's really a mouthful, but just imagine all of that coming to bear for and with educators. And she also facilitates virtual cross-cultural dialogues and trains others in dialogue facilitation. So I'm going to hand this off to Yelena to introduce our special guests for tonight.
Thank you, Dan, and welcome everybody to this Peace Alliance April call. It is my deep honor and pleasure to introduce the guests. I have heard from a friend back in January about this amazing team doing some incredible work. And when I first heard it, I said, are you sure this is a 14-year-old that is doing this work? And my friend assured me, yes, this is a 14 turning 15-year-old team that has putting this phenomenal summit called Mindful Kids Peace Summit in February. And I was just so inspired by what Adam Alvin and his mom, Marnie Becker-Avon, have been doing and are have been doing for years and are continuing to do. Adam created the Woof Shanti Children's Wellness Foundation to teach mindfulness so children can live with more peace, health, and positivity, and founded the Kids Association for Mindfulness in Education. And that amazing Mindful Kids Peace Summit, where he had the leaders in peace building, mindfulness, social emotional learning, diversity, over 50 world leaders in the field coming and actually talking about this in a summit kind of forum kind of space that was broadcasted in schools across the world. So, and I just want to, you know, say that again, this is, you know, such an incredible endeavor that he got help with from his mom. Mom is, Marnie is an attorney with a dual master's degree in mental health counseling. Marnie helps Adam with WEF Shanti and the Mindful Peace Kids Summit and works as a special programs director for the nonprofit Heal the Planet. These pioneers, educator organizers, are speakers for this call, and I hope you all get inspired hearing Adam and Marnie. Welcome, Adam and Marnie.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi. Can you see us?
I'm trying.
Okay, hold on. Can you see us now?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. I'm calling from the phone and I might not be here. Here you are.
Okay.
Wonderful. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. I just want to start off by asking you to kind of please tell us a story behind the inspiration for WEF Shanti and the intention that you have behind that Mindful Peace Kids Summit. So.
Yeah, so after my great-grandpa passed away a while ago, we wanted to honor him and teach his mindset to other kids. So he was always a very positive person, and he taught us his mantras, like think well to be well. And we took his mantras and we based WEF Shanti all around that. And I drew a dog character and my mom loved it, and we decided to do something with it. And that's how WEF Shanti was born, really.
Wow.
And our intentions are to teach as many children as we can about social emotional learning and mindfulness, because we feel like if we can teach them when they're young and get these programs into as many schools as possible, then we have a good chance of healing this world of ours. Because if they can learn how to control their emotions and deal, cope with emotions and cope with stress, then hopefully they'll grow up to be less depressed and less anxious and less angry, and they'll be able to communicate better and collaborate better. And so that's really our goal. That's our mission.
Yes. Yes to all of that. And just going back to like that Mindful Peace Kids Summit, that was a major endeavor. You know, just pulling off this Zoom call is, you know, took Dan and I, you know, a lot of work. So how, and please tell us, I mean, how did you pull that off? Because that was multiple days. And many these world leaders that were sharing, and you were interviewing them almost all.
Yeah. So Helen, who I did it with, and we did it with, she did some of the interviews, and I did some of the interviews. But for a few months, we were I would have two or three interviews a day after school, and we would. And I loved talking to everyone, and it was a great experience for our first year doing it. We think we had about over 7 million viewers worldwide for our first year doing the summit. So it was a great success for our first year. And we were I love speaking with everyone. And I hope that really everyone who was watching the summit got a good idea and actually learned some things. And Helen was a big part. She was kind of mentoring me through our first year doing it. And she was teaching both of us, because she's done other summits and stuff before, but not one for teens. So this was our, we tried to get our word out to teens and get WEF Shanti's message out to kids and make the world a better place.
Wow. So you had schools participating
And this, how did that look like?
You want to talk or should I? Me? Okay. So this was all online. It was 5 days. And each day had a different theme. So, for example, day number one was diversity, inclusion, and communication. And day number two was anti-bullying, cyberbullying, kindness, stopping the violence. And day number three was mindfulness as a tool to cope with stress and emotions. Day number four was how we could all be doing something positive in the world and collaborating to make the world a better place. And day number five was social emotional learning and emotional intelligence. And it got broadcast online and schools would register. It was for middle schools and high schools, not for elementary schools. So the dog character, Wolf Shanti, is for elementary schools. And we teach them all the same things, but in a fun way with music and videos and games and books. The Peace Summit has no dog character. It's much more serious curriculum. And that had the experts speaking, and it had downloadable worksheets and activities and things for the teachers to use after the summit was over so that they could incorporate everything that was learned in their lesson plans.
Wow. And you mentioned it's a worldwide event. So this is something that schools all over the world were able to participate.
Hopefully. And hopefully a lot of schools, hopefully a lot of schools like are going to use this curriculum and are going to use their curriculum in the schools so we can try and spread mindfulness and social emotional learning all over the world.
Tell them about what we saw with the attendance for the whole world and
the amount of like social emotional learning, mindfulness and emotional intelligence are mandatory in other countries, just like math and science is here. And so our main goal is to get these socially emotional mindful programs into schools. Because we think that is one of the first steps towards improving mental health and really stopping the violence. So a lot of other countries, what were some of the countries?
You name the country. Cambodia, Australia, country. New Zealand, Ireland, Scotland, Great Britain.
And a lot more than that.
Peru.
Is where most of our views came from, not the United States. Our United States was the littlest. And for a first year doing it, 7 million people, when you say 7 million people, that seems really good. Like, wow, like that's amazing. But that's worldwide. And we want to try and reach more people in the United States. So we can make our country a better.
There's actually 120 million middle and high schoolers around the whole world in total. So, you know, I would say, we haven't sat there and counted every single 7 million, but I would say if I had to guess, I would say it was probably like, you know, 80% the rest of the world and 20% America. And that is a goal for us going in the future to raise that 20% higher because, you know, it needs to be about more than just academics in this country, especially.
Yeah. The question is, do you foresee that somehow integrated within the academic curriculum? Because what I see is that academics is so important here that everything else, like you're saying, is falling short. So is there a way we can integrate social emotional learning and mindfulness within the academic curriculum?
Yeah, and that's actually what we're working on now. What we're working on next is we really feel like the way in America to get it accepted is through core curriculum. So literature, for example. And we are working with a digital platform because like it or not, everything is digital these days and we have to, you know, go with the times. And we're building a, for lack of a better term, like a digital interactive textbook to be used in schools with the core curriculums.
So you could have literature, history, geography, lessons right. where this is integrated.
Exactly. And science. And
we're trying to help you get these curriculums into like the STEM programs that are in school. Mm-hmm. Because that is really where we can include these practices and programs and kind of get it into the curriculum better.
Well, it's where they'll accept it the easiest the fastest. Yeah.
Where do you see, besides that, where do you see any other roadblocks here? Because, having only 20% of your coming, what is that organization like ours, like Peace Alliance, can do to support these kind of endeavors, and to advocate for these kind of work here in U.S.?
Well, you want to tell them what your biggest challenge has been here?
Well, our biggest challenge so far, like at the start of when we first started doing Lashanti and started traveling around and teaching our curriculum to kids, was that a lot of school leaders, principals,
public schools
think that these mindful practices are like a religion. But the biggest thing that we've learned throughout our whole time of doing is that it's not, that it's secular, that it's for everyone. And that we try to get everyone, we think that everyone in all communities should have access to this kind of socially emotional and mindful education.
Right. That it's getting better though. I mean, we have to educate the educators, mm-hmm. and you can help with that. We have to, we made 15 PSAs, public service announcements, to be shown to educators and to students. And it explains all of this. It explains what social emotional learning is and what mindfulness is and how we cope. And it just explains, and all 15 PSAs are on our website. And we try to get them out to schools and on social media. And so we're just trying to train the educators and get them used to the notion that, look, these are necessary life skills. And that is how we have to look at it. We have to teach kids when they're young, so they grow up to handle their problems, which they will face, in productive ways, i.e. without guns. And so it is a roadblock that a lot of people feel like this is, religion. And so we just need to keep repeating over and over that it is 100% secular. We are not in any way, shape, or form teaching a religion, that these practices are for everybody. Everybody.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the lineup of the leaders you had on your summit, majority of them are actually researchers, leading researchers in the field of mindfulness that are neuroscientists. So there is a science, there is a very solid science behind it. So what I'm hearing you say is that our advocacy really is to reach educators and policymakers in what we can do better to support work that you guys are doing in schools.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what's next? What's next for you guys? Where are you headed?
We're taking a little break. The Peace Summit took 10 months, believe it or not, to put together from beginning to end. And we're not going to stop the Peace Summit. We're going to keep doing it. But the interactive digital textbook, which merges with core curriculums and lesson plans, I think that is our main next project. And I feel like it's going to take at least a year and a half to pull off. But we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And we're actually collaborating with a lot of those speakers and experts that you mentioned, because we were smart enough to realize that a project that enormous is not something we can do alone. And so we asked all of them if they would collaborate with us, and each person take a chapter, and one person's chapter will be on self-awareness, and another person's chapter will be on self-regulation, and another person's chapter will be on resilience. And so, it's just not something that we can or want to do by ourselves. And so we're trying to invite anybody, you know, that's on a similar path to please, you know, join us and help us. And everybody will get the credit. Everybody will be joint authors of this textbook. And so it's, I don't know, I'm calling it a textbook because I don't know what else to call it, but it's like a software. It's a digital interactive thing that the kids can, you know, there's self-reflection questions at the end of every chapter and journaling, and then there's activities that they can do as groups together. And so
so basically, even when we're taking a break, we're not taking a break.
Perfect. I've heard the expression, it changes as good as a rest. Some people
we're still doing stuff, and by doing this whole textbook, it's preparing us for next year's summit. So we're still doing stuff.
Fantastic. I want to just jump in and say I really appreciate you guys joining us. I think this is really inspiring for me and for a lot of other folks. Just to give you guys a little context, the Peace Alliance sort of maps out the world of peace building into what we call the five cornerstones of peace building. And it's cultivating personal peace, teaching peace in the schools, fostering community peace building, humanizing justice systems, and fostering international peace building. And it's been demonstrated to us that most of our field gets most excited about teaching peace in schools. When we have that as a focus, that tends to generate the most excitement, the most activity. So, and policy advocacy is sort of where we mostly come in. We promote things in our communities, and we also like to promote policies. So I look forward to further cooperation and seeing how we can support the policies that you'd like to see supported. And I'd love to open this up to questions from other folks on the call. You can push the little raise your hand button. If you don't see it, you probably see three dots, your menu, and you can open up that menu and you'll have a raise hand option. And if you're on the phone, you can press *9 and that will show me that your hand is raised. So if anybody has a question or wants to join the discussion, I want to make sure that option is available. Oh, I see a hand. It's from the phone, and it's 707 area code 707-992, and I'm gonna unmute you. You should be unmuted. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Kendra in Petaluma, California, and I'm just wondering, how did you reach all those schools? I mean, I know digitally, but I mean, how did you get them on board? What kind of public relations tool did you use?
Want to talk, or you want me to talk?
Yeah. Well, since we're over here in the U.S., Helen actually lives in Portugal, so she's all the way across the other side of the globe, and she is helping spread our whole message of the Mindful Kids Peace Summit out to everyone over in Europe and in Asia and everywhere over there. So we also sent out all of our PSAs to countries and schools all around the world, to the superintendents, the principals, to try and get as many people involved as we can. So that's pretty much what we did. We tried to just keep reminding them, like, we're doing this Peace Summit in February. We really want you to join. It's really important. We want to get these messages into schools because we really think it can help.
And we got really lucky because there were a lot of wonderful human beings that wanted to help Adam spread his message. I think probably because he's 14, it didn't hurt. And, you know, we had television stations, and we had, for example, Goop magazine. Gwyneth Paltrow's magazine did an article. The Tiger Woods Foundation, Adam is a golfer, so they wanted to do an article. Psychology Today, which is a big mental health publication, they did something. Who else? Castle, Social Emotional Learning.
All of our all of the people I interviewed, as well as people Helen interviewed, posted on their social media, trying to get the word out.
All the 70 experts that were on there, and yeah, we had a lot of help. We didn't do it by ourselves.
Fantastic. I see no more hands up. There's no waiting if you have a question. Oh, Judy, is that you raising your hand?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it the right way. It's terrible.
I'm sorry.
I want to know when your next conference is. This sounds fantastic. One of my dreams in life is to write a bill at the federal level to addressing the Department of Education, U.S. Department of Education, mandating social emotional healing in our public schools K through 12. So that's one of my dreams. Beyond that, I just interested in knowing when your next conference is. You mentioned that there may be that, and then how we can support you and collaborate with you and amplify what you're doing in a way that helps.
And just to let you know, Marnie and Adam, Judy Kimmel, and for other callers, Judy is one of the presidents of our board of directors.
Great. So Judy, do you want to fly to Kansas City, Missouri on Saturday?
Yes.
do you want to tell her why? This is really cool. Listen, why? What's happening on Saturday?
On Saturday, we're going to Kansas City, Missouri because TEDx invited me to go.
Very good. Fantastic. Yay. That'll get you out there. Just give us a link to your YouTube and we'll push it out there.
They're going to, the speech is going to be recorded all over the internet. So
everybody send good vibes that Adam remembers the entire 18 minutes and doesn't forget. He's been
doing a great job. He's enrolling, just looking at him is enrolling. So
he's been practicing every single day.
I'm sure. You're braver than me and most of the adults I knew who dream of doing a TEDx talk and don't do it. So there you go.
And interestingly enough, the theme for the TEDx is using your voice to make a positive difference in the world and make a scene, which is what he's doing. And he wrote his speech, and he wrote it about getting social emotional learning and mindfulness curriculums into schools.
There you go. We can work together.
That's what it's about. Yes.
So we're doing that, and then our next summit, because we're trying to make it an annual thing, would be next year. We don't know if it'd be at the same time yet. We did it specifically February 11th to the 15th this year because February 14th is the anniversary of Parkland, and we live close to there. So that's why we did it this week in February. But next year, we're still deciding on when we're going to do it, just so we have enough time to get all the interviews done and everything to make it the best summit that we can be.
Great. Well, congratulations on your great work and very inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything we can do, let us know. One of the things we did a couple of years ago, we did a webinar on teaching peace in schools, and it's accessible, but it might be something that might be a good resource because we, as you are talking about right now, had to develop a lot of materials to support, and our presenters provided materials that might be useful to you. I don't know how far along you are, but.
Well, we are doing that textbook, and we are going to need someone to write the peace chapter. So by all means, help us out. It needs to be in different levels, because the software, when the kids log in with their student number, their student code, is going to know whether you're in elementary school, middle school, or high school. And you're teaching the same thing, but you're teaching it at different ways, different levels. And so we need someone to help us with that peace chapter. You want to raise your hand?
We'll find somebody to help out.
That could be us.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I have a question, even though you can't see me.
Okay.
I'll put on the video. Here I am. So I would, that one of the biggest challenges would be getting the teachers themselves to change. They would be resisting this change because if they need to master this themselves in order to do it authentically, they could say, I'm beginning and let's begin this together and let's do this together.
That's a great
idea. Or they could come in experienced and you have to walk your own talk. So I would think that it's important to invite the quote unquote teachers. Mm-hmm. But your son is this beautiful person in this transition where teachers are not, you know, are no longer going to be the adults in the room. But we have to all learn how to be the adults in the room, as well as having our child within well and healthy and safe. So it's an interesting, you know, maybe a two-way, we're right in the middle where we could do that in two different ways. Just curious what your experience with that is.
Yeah, so, that's definitely a big challenge. Trying to get into schools is a big challenge enough, but having the teachers participate and wanting to teach the students is another level on top of that. I mention it in the TEDx speech, and we talk to it. We tell people this all the time, is that the best way to create, this is actually what psychologist Christopher Willer said, doctor. He said the best way to create mindful and compassionate kids is to surround them with compassionate and mindful adults. So if you really want to, if you really want these kids to grow up to be better people and have a better world for our generation, then everyone should model that behavior. So that's what we're trying to teach through the summit, through Ashanti, and through everything that we do.
Because so you could promote this. Excuse me, I interrupted.
No, you're good.
That's okay. Promote this to, you know, take this program, or somebody can take an element of this program just to help teachers de-stress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just, you know, just do this for yourself, you know, just go there. Is that an option at the time?
Yeah, of course. I mean, part of the, in the Peace Summit, we label the videos student or teacher. So we're very aware of which videos are more suited to the adults in the room and which ones are for the students. And we offer both. And so they can pick and choose what they want to watch. And we hope that they do. And you know, we just have to be, it's a little bit easier with the adults than it is actually getting in it into the schools for the kids, because we don't have to worry so much about the whole secular argument, and we don't have to watch our words, you know, we don't have to make sure that we, God forbid, we say the word meditation, you know. So for teachers, we can say, you know, come learn meditation, you know, this is how you do it, or breathing techniques, or, you know, you have to say stress management, for example, in schools,
for yoga, for kids, for yoga, and these physical movements of these mindfulness practices, we have to say mindful movement now instead of yoga. We can't say, like, we've had so much trouble in the past years with just saying yoga. So now in our when we tell people what Ashanti is, we say we teach mindful movements and things to help you cope with emotions.
Cope with stress. But for teachers and adults, you can say, you know, you don't have to be so super careful, you know. It's all the same. It's all the same thing. But it's just educating people, really. That's all it is. It's so much education going on, you know, especially, you know, I think it's starting to get a lot better, especially with social emotional.
A lot better.
Whereas they were lumping it in before, now they're starting to see and separate, okay, you know, compassion and empathy and awareness and regulation. And those are starting to become okay. You know, then you have in the middle, you have positive thinking and positivity, and it's all been proven with science and scientific, you know, reports and everything that, you know, this type of thinking helps with illnesses and academics and athletics and focus and everything. And so that's starting to be okay because of the science. And now on the other side, you have meditation and yoga and breathing, and it's just at the very, very beginning starting to be okay. And I mean the very beginning. And that is has a lot to do with, sadly, school shootings like Parkland, because it is part of mental health education and improving mental health education and trauma and stopping violence. And so because of what's happening so frequently, we're starting to see schools start to open up their minds a little bit more and start to, you know, say, okay, you know, we actually do need this. We actually do want this. It's not to the point where it's mandatory yet, like other countries, but it's getting better, getting better.
So I'm going to jump in, and I sense that we could go for days, and I hope that we do. I hope we go for months and years and as long as it takes. But I love your questions, Anahata, partly because it leads into the action that Yelena and I have planned of how we can directly support some teachers to be more available to bring some of these topics to bear. And we on that subject, we've got a packed call, and I'm committed to getting folks out in an hour. So we kind of need to move on. Marnie and Adam, you're more than welcome to stick with us for the rest of the hour, but I also understand you've got lots on your plate to do. So if you need to bid farewell, we understand that as well. I'm going to actually turn this over to Yelena, who connected with you and invited you to sort of say a final thanks and farewell in case you're going, but so great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I think we are going to go because this one has a TEDx speech he has to practice. So we are going to go, but we just want to thank you so, so much for having us. Really, thank you.
Thank you, Marnie. Thank you, Adam. It is really an inspiration. You are the inspiration to many adults and teens all around the world. I cannot wait to hear your TEDx and to support in any way that we can and I can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks. Good night. Great. So lots to do. Before we dive into actions, I want to welcome Kendra back, and Kendra Mon, who's a member of our wonderful Department of Peacebuilding Committee, is going to give us an update on the Department of Peacebuilding. Welcome back, Kendra.
Hi, thank you. And yes, we are excited about the progress that we've made in support of the Department of Peacebuilding. Many of us made calls and sent emails, and so we now have 17 co-sponsors. It's one of those things where we have to start every 2 years over again and reach out to people who have been co-sponsors in the past to get them on board again. The bill has not changed much at all, just a few of the findings. So if you've read it before, it's pretty much the same. And so we've worked through the Season for Nonviolence, January 30th to April 4th, making these contacts and calls. And that's where we are. And then Nancy will later tell us more about what's coming ahead for us.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Kendra. And yes, we're going to hear from Nancy in a few minutes with that action coming up for Mother's Day and starting now, but moving on into Mother's Day. But before we do that, and we're sort of hopscotching a little bit, but I trust you can stick with us. Peace builders sometimes need a complicated attention span along with calm, slow movements. Yelena is encouraging me to stay slow and steady. So if you received an email in your inbox with links to these two action sheets, I'll encourage you to open that email. You would have received it just an hour ago. And look at the first link for now. And Yelena is going to read some of this action sheet. At the top of the page, it says TPA, that's the Peace Alliance April 2019 action. So Yelena is going to read some and then offer some prompts for you to think about some things and respond. We really want your engagement to think with us about actions we can take to support teachers as a real basis for bringing kindness and mindfulness into schools. So back to you, Yelena.
Yeah, it's a sense of showering teachers with support so that children can bloom. And we are advocating, as you heard in this call, for social and emotional learning for our students. But let's also promote social and emotional wellness support for our teachers. Let's talk about one of the most noble professions known to humankind. Let's talk about teaching and our teachers, not just on a Teacher Appreciation Week or Teacher of the Year receptions. Let's talk about our teachers, every teacher on that random Tuesday in April. And let's talk about what they need to thrive and flourish. And you can read this background that we have on teacher stress, but you know, for me, the statistic of more than half right now teachers are leaving the profession within the first 5 years of joining the profession, that is, that to me is alarming. So if you don't look at anything else, just noting that, that is where we are nationally in this country. One in every two teachers that joins leaves. So, and how, you know, and those that stay are often stressed, disconnected, compassion fatigued. And, you know, as we heard from, you know, Adam and Marnie, is how, you know, that's one of the major challenges, actually, how they can then embody that skills that they are trying to teach, these social and emotional skills. So what teacher tells us is they need consistent, authentic, and wholehearted support of a community and creation of these spaces for them. And we can help with that. Let's be part of that community. It takes all. So to start the conversation and to really engage, let's kind of think about in these three simple prompts. I invite you to recall a time when you had an interaction with a teacher that sparked curiosity or joy. And just take a moment, maybe even closing your eyes, and thinking about that moment where you interacted with an educator and that sparked something in you. Something came alive. And now imagine you have a magic wand, and with that you can create the best possible support for that teacher. What does that support look like? What would you like that teacher to receive from you? What is that easy, simple step in the next 24 hours that you can do toward that action? What is that? What is your example? Yeah.
So we really want to know, we actually want to tap into the collective imagination here. What is a goal that you could have to support a teacher or more than one teachers in your community? And what would be a simple step that you could take in that direction? So if you have an idea about that, please raise your hand. I lowered the hands that were down before. There were a few more hands that were waiting to talk in the discussion with Marnie and Adam. So if you have an idea of how you might support, or how we as individuals might support nearby teachers, we want to hear it. We might have one or two ideas, but we really want to hear what you come up with. So please raise your hand if you have something in mind. I see a hand. Okay. Don Pitt, you are unmuted. What's on your mind? Don? Oh, there you are.
I'm trying to get on the video if possible, but every time I try to go over to get on the video, it disappears here. But at any rate, I don't need to be on the video. My wife is on the Board of Education, and we're in East Hartford. And one of the things that's been important here is the superintendent has created a very high amount of morale for the teachers. So I think one of the basic things is if you can give the teachers the sense that they're working together as a team, the importance of team is so important, and that's what the superintendent here has been able to do. So there's a high more esprit de corps, so to speak. Years ago, I was a consultant to the White House in substance abuse, and one of the things that I found out visiting programs around the country is it didn't matter what kind of program is offered, as long as the spirit of the people was high and working together, there was success in the programs. And no matter what the program was, if there wasn't coherence among the staff. So one of the things that I think would be important is some kind of supportive group meetings for teachers where they develop their own sort of pep rally or morale. I have a nonprofit corporation that is developing that, by the way. It's endorsed by people like Jack Canfield and Brian Tracy. So I'd like to share that with you if we can find a way that I can get you some information. And we also have a way to offer group meetings through Zoom, through the same technology, free. We can offer, you know, people bringing people together, teachers, for example, where they can participate and receive these basic skills that elevate their morale to work better together. So that I think that would be one area. It has to do with teacher communication, and you might even call it pep rally, so to speak. Mm-hmm. When the teachers are enthusiastic and they realize they're succeeding and doing something meaningful, then everybody. It's sort of this idea of conscious business. They're getting much more. To me, the two most important words of success can be summarized in two words: chronic enthusiasm. And if we can teach that, then we know there's going to be success. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
Sure. Don, would you share the name of the nonprofit?
It's the Educational Community. And our free webs, everything we do is free. It is guaranteed to be no charge ever. It's non-commercial and public domain so that anyone can take our material and use it. So the main website is simply www.peace.academy. And then there's another website, which is all videos, www.worldpeace.academy. And that has interviews, including an hour-long interview with Jack Canfield on the topic of peace, and he told me that's the only interview he's really ever done on world peace, and he's quite capable, so it's worthwhile, I think, taking a look at.
Okay, thank you. So that's that right there is one small step that folks could take if you want to further educate yourself and perhaps promote this direction. Take a look at peace.academy. Or worldpeace.academy. Thanks, Don, and see where that might lead. And you're welcome to contact me for further cooperation, dan@peacealliance.org.
I will do it.
Great. Anybody else come up with a direction and or a simple step to start moving in that direction?
And if you are an educator on a call, if you can also speak up, what do you need? What do you need from a community?
So without seeing any hands yet, I'm happy with the creative silence, but I also know that, I see Lucy has her physical hand raised. So go ahead, Lucy.
Sorry, I couldn't see any button to raise my hand. I was looking all over the screen and pressing things, but nothing was happening. So I thought maybe I just did that. Thanks for your encouragement, Yelena. She knows I'm a classroom teacher, so I felt like I was getting called in. Thank you. So I was thinking not only simple ways to support my children's teachers, but I'm going even simpler than the last caller, the last speaker. For me in my classroom, what has recently been the most supportive thing is actually, I'll give you a concrete example, was last week, someone in the community, because of their own work, because of what they're doing in their work, they work with elders, brought in a group of elders to read and interact with my students. And the reason why it was so uplifting to me and supportive to me is because community connection and meaningful interactions with other people from the outside world is something that fills me up for on behalf of my students. So someone coming from the community to share their passion in my classroom is extremely uplifting to me. It not only gives me a little break from content for the moment, and people can come in and share skills, all kinds of skills and simple things that are connected to the curriculum, and the students are excited, we're excited, and it just fills me back up. So I would say, thinking about what we each do in our life, whether it's like a hobby or our particular work, to just call a teacher you know and say, can I come in for 15 minutes? Or offer to help sit with the kids at lunch, or just bring a cup of coffee. I mean, it's that simple. So, or call an administrator and say, this teacher is doing a good job. It's nice to get that, because a lot of times we get a lot of complaints and also criticism that gets called in. That's what tends to get shared. And just to call in and say, I know this teacher and they're doing an awesome job. And it's the small stuff, because a lot of times, you know, the bigger requests around like more support for professional development or something like that, there's the schedule is already so busy. So these pieces are, these small pieces are things we can all do. And outside of that, really meaningful work towards sustainable change. And that's something that you all are doing. That is fulfilled. That is uplifting and supportive. Obviously, that's bigger action. So so I'd say, you know, go really big and go really small. But yeah, that's about it from here.
Really wonderful. Thank you, Lucy. And I just learned really from Yelena. I don't know if I ever knew it before, but Yelena informed me that pretty much anybody can volunteer to come into a school and pitch in for a half an hour or 45 minutes. So I want to really underline, if I can, what Lucy just shared. If you're so inclined, go to your local school, whether it's an elementary school or a middle school or high school, and let them know you're interested in volunteering just to, you know, help out a teacher, relieve a little pressure, share what your passion is. As Lucy said, share some of your simple skills. You can really, bring some of that community connection into the classroom. I love that. And that's something that Yelena and I had talked about. And I really appreciate you bringing that forward. It means a lot more coming from you, honestly. And I love the idea of going big and also going small. Do you want to add anything to that, Yelena?
Yeah, I just want to add big thank you to everybody who is doing small and big actions, and people who are willing to support educators so that educators can be filled to support our students. It is a community endeavor. Education is a community endeavor.
Yeah. So I see Ngozi has her hand up, and we've got 6 minutes left, and I want to have time for Nancy to talk about the other action. Oh, Ngozi, you're sure? Ngozi's waving me off. Do you want to pass? Okay, maybe you'll have time after Nancy. So I want to guide you all to the other action, shifting gears now from the specific to the big and broad. Nancy, where are you? It's that 510 number. Oh, no, there you are, Nancy Merritt. Nancy, I don't see how I unmute you. Can you unmute yourself? I'm gonna unmute it all. I just unmute it all.
Okay.
That's too much.
Hey. Okay. Thank you, everybody. All right. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and now I'm just going to go through and unmute the other folks.
Okay. So you all got an action sheet with Dan's mailing, and well, first of all, I want to thank Yelena and the guest speakers. That was awesome. The whole thing was awesome. We, as most of you know, we go in the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. We go from our season for nonviolence actions to now we're getting ready for Mother's Day and the Mother's Day.
Oh, well, I gotta go. It's no sense me going.
Piece of the pie.
I have to go.
And so this year we're doing a two-part action, which I won't go through in real detail because we don't have much time, but. If you look at your action sheet, we're asking folks to start making meeting appointments with your congresspeople in your own district and your senators, too, if you can. And then the second part of our action this year is we're calling it Mother's Day 11 for HR 1111. Okay. And on the list, you'll see on the back, you'll see a list of 11 former co-sponsors that we hope everybody will call and urge them to sign on again. They shouldn't have to be too educated about the bill because they have been co-sponsors in the past, but it gives you the numbers to call and the person for them to contact in Barbara Lee's office. So, I think if we all do this, this will really help, and we'll maybe hopefully be able to bring back onto the bill some of these folks. So really appreciate that, and you can look at the sheet and see some of the resource information that you can find on the Department of Peace page of our website. So I really encourage you all to do this. I don't think we have time to find out who's going to do it, but I do know for sure that we've got at least four meetings already set up in San Diego and another four or so set up in Sonoma County, California. And I know folks in Georgia and New Mexico are working on this. So I really encourage you. It's a really fun thing to do. And they love you coming because they love the pie. And so that's that. And I just wanted to say a quick watch for Advocacy Day's information. We go in the fall every year to Washington, D.C., and this year we're incorporating into that with Yelena a day at one of the schools in Washington. And this was a huge part of what we did last year. She went to one of the schools that was teaching some of these practices, and that was a big part of our discussion with Congress people as we went around talking about Department of Peace and peace building and peace in schools. So anyway, watch for information on that. That will be around September 20th to September 26th. And just a thank you to people who called during the season for nonviolence, and a thank you to folks who called, helped with the New Mexico campaign to get a state Department of Peacebuilding, which they did not get this year, but they're not stopping. They're going to keep working on that. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Nancy. Thanks for that action and sharing it. And thanks for pushing through with all the background noise. I'm really sorry for that. I think hopefully I can tag your number in future because I think I had you on in two separate identities. And I had a hard time with that. But we got through. If you have questions, nancy@peacealliance.org. So this is just to recap a little bit, this is the beginning of an action that's going to carry through Mother's Day, which is just after our May call. So check out the action sheet that you were sent, and you'll be plenty of information there. And if you want some coaching or guidance, you can contact nancy@peacealliance.org to get some more details and support. Okay. We are at the top of the hour, and I'm going to say I'll since we didn't really have time for community shares, I'm going to share a closing quote. And then folks that want to stay on for another 10 minutes, I'll stay on for another 10 minutes in case people want to stay and connect with each other. But if you're, you know, had enough for your hour and you're done, totally understandable. And I think it's been wonderful. Thank you, Yelena, for doing this with me. Yeah, it was a real pleasure. And I look forward to more contact with the Avens and this movement to get more social emotional learning into our schools. The quote I want to share is from Cornel West, who said, "Never forget that justice is what love looks like in public." And I'm going to unmute everybody in case you want to say goodnight to each other. And then, as I said, I'll stick around in case people want to talk more about what you're doing in your part of the world and hear from each other. So everybody's unmuted. And good night to those who are leaving us.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank good night. You. Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
So right now there are a few enough of us that I think if you want to just speak, you don't have to raise your hand. There are a few people still muted and I'm unmuting you. So yeah, if there's anything you want to share about news from your part of the world or activities or announcements or questions, we're still here for that.
Hi there.
This is Ken. Yes.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah, go
is
ahead.
Is somebody going?
I guess it's you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, Deborah. Okay, this is Deborah, and I'm in Atlanta, and so I'm going to be organizing some PI meetings or PI visits. I don't know if they're going to be some... At least one will be a meeting and one will be a drop-by. So they didn't talk that much about drop-bys, but drop-bys can be highly effective, and drop-bys you can be flexible with because you don't have to be there at a certain time. So you can, if you do one meeting, you can coordinate a drop-by around that. And also you don't have to talk as much, so but you can go in and you can say a few things and give a folder and maybe even get a photo, you know. So, yeah, so we're going to do those. And we'll be visiting Congressman John Lewis's office, Congressman Hank Johnson's office, and Congresswoman Lucy McBath's office. And Congresswoman McBath is a major gun violence prevention advocate. So, because her son was killed. So he was in a parking lot in a car with other boys, and some man just didn't like his loud music, so he shot in the car and killed. His name was Jordan Davis. So anyway, we will be visiting Lucy McBath's office too. And so, and right before Mother's Day. So I guess that's all.
All right. Thank you, Deborah. Nice to hear from you.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Who's next?
Hi, this is Suzanne. And I don't know how many teachers we have on the call, but I wrote a book called Traditional Education or Partnership Education. And it's about the differences between the kind of ways classrooms can be put together where all the decisions about rules and curricula and all that kind of stuff are made by the teachers, as opposed to the teachers being comrades, you know, partners with the students and creating these classroom environments together and even creating the curricula together. I talk a lot about nonviolent communication as well, Marshall Rosenberg's thing, because that's where I really, through him, began learning about this other option for doing classes. Education was one of his passions, and he was writing books back in the 70s about this idea of creating egalitarian relationships between teachers and students. So anyway, if anybody's interested, I just usually give it as a gift. I can give you my email address and you can contact me. And it's an odd email address. It's Suzanne J, SUZANNEJ, at Ymail, YMAIL.com.
Great, that's exciting. I look forward to sending you an email and checking that out.
Great. That's excellent. Hi, this is another educator from the Washington, D.C. area.
Hi.
Good evening. And it's so exciting to have the Peace Summit doing their mission. And there's a lot of ways that we can get it as a legislative initiative. And we've talked about ESSA, or Every Student Succeeds. There's actually language in that act that requires public school systems to provide social-emotional learning opportunities during the school day for every child across America. But while implementation, they've kind of looked over that, because they're not sure how to go about doing it. So this is a excellent opportunity. And the majority of teachers are so attuned to the incredible needs of our youth. And we have our fingers on the pulse of what is happening within our communities and the struggle that our kids and our families are going through. There's some really incredible programs that are out there that we're having trouble getting them into the systems because the higher ups aren't opening the doors to opportunity for the teachers to have access to either training or resources to implement a cost-free, highly effective, proven through scientific and medical data that we have to serve the whole child. I've been spoken at public forums in the DC area where county council superintendents of major school systems say, we are not direct service providers for mental health. And I think that's a really big piece of the challenge, is to get it through the policy that's already in place through ESSA, as well as we need to have protection for educators. There is not a whistleblower protection law for educators. And every time that we speak up and out and stand up in public to really say what's truly going on with our youth, we are reprimanded. We are put on warning. We are directly threatened, and we need to have whistleblower protection for educators. There is no national reporting system for public institutions to track the true data that is truly going on in our schools with our youth, with the violence. The only thing that public institutions are required to do is report when someone is either killed or maimed. So every time there's an act of violence or of all kinds of nature, that schools are not reporting them because of a variety of reasons. We need something like the CDC for education, that we must have public institutions required to report. And we have to protect our educators who have the courage and the time that they barely have to take care of themselves or their families. And we are the ones who want and are begging and are going to these public meetings and trying to get the opportunity to implement these programs. And the doors are not even being opened. And when they are, they're quickly, there's some reason why it can't be done. So we need the support that the educators, we are the glue that are holding our schools and our youth together. They come back to our classrooms day after day, traumatized as we are as well, trying to help them from a new, fresh perspective while we're trying to care for ourselves and our family. We need to have a Veteran Teachers Association. We treat the veterans. We are the ones who teach the soldiers that go out and defend our country. But we can't even afford to send our own children to college. Because we, if I retire, which they're forcing us to as veteran teachers, which is part of the crisis we have in education, is because the veteran teachers who are the ones that have the courage and the knowledge to speak up and have the tools and the wisdom to see the transition that is going on with our youth crying out for help through their violent actions. The more quiet we are, the less we act, the less we stand up to help unify and get. I really need to connect with the whole peace summit so that we can make sure that we identify the ISA language. You know, we need to have, you know, public funding with a legislative initiatives. We have to, it's not just, you know, the lucky schools or the lucky districts that believe in this. It's a human right for children to be educated as a whole child, to be able to have equal opportunity, to have that level playing field of all of the self-awareness and the regulation and the resiliency. And we as educators are begging for that. And we can't even get a workshop going because of all the political layers that we need to go through. And that we are barely surviving, and we need community support. Not if the teachers who don't want it or the teachers this or that. We are truly going back to school on a daily basis, ready to start over again with the dynamics of hundreds of kids per day while the administration is coming after teachers as and trying to blame the people who are actually in the classrooms day after day trying to help these kids find their footing and get that foundation that is so critically important to then achieve academically and to bring global peace, not only internally, but also in the community.
Wow, thank you. That was inspiring.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
That was powerful.
And I need a platform that I can unify the educators to have our voice speak for our youth, because our youth have found the incredible power of our voice. And whenever we gather in a peaceful human rights that educators are being denied, and so are our children, we go for the human rights that we all have when we walk into our jobs. That it's a daily thing that educators are crying, going home, walking down the hallway because they've been called in for something. And we need to switch up this data-driven corporate approach to how the leadership of our public institutions have been allowed to continue. And we need to, you know, get back to the collaborative approach to peace building and common, you know, the common purpose that we all have is to raise healthy, vibrant human beings that have hearts and souls. They're not data points. So whatever we can do to really truly know that the educators who go back every day, we really care so much that we sacrifice. We're public servants for decades. And then we get tossed out because we speak up and they don't want to hear it because we know what's really going down. And as one young man said, you know the difference between you old teachers, well, I mean you more experienced teachers, is that you really want to know who we are as people and how we learn and what we're interested in. And it's almost like the new teachers are more concerned about their data and compliance. And that spoke volumes. And he's picking up that we're more about the data of the minorities that we have in the AP, or but we don't give them the support they need and the tools. And the tools are the social emotional learning, the whole child approach to ensure that our kids have this foundational base. It's not the other way around. This is what, this is how everyone in the world can achieve the connectedness that we are all wired to be. And it's like climbing mountains and then getting knocked down and going back up again to try to get the powers that be to hear and act on the best interests of kids and not the best interests of the data or how it's going to look. So thank you so kindly for listening. And I, this is one of the reasons I didn't chime in before, but I have lots of very concrete ways that we can, you know, do this. And because I'm a full-time educator and I'm a special educator on top of being a curriculum co-teacher, our caseloads are through the roof, and then they come after the special educators for not being able to fulfill all the paralegal paperwork within a 40-minute time that you get to plan for that. And you have very challenging kids, even the ones that aren't coded. And then it becomes a whole cyclical that most industries people would not survive, and teachers are extremely resilient and want what's best for kids, and we're trying our best to make it through day by day, and we need help.
I really thank you for your service, and I would love to get to connect with you. If you don't mind sending me an email at Yelena, that is J-E-L-E-N-A, at peaceofaudience.org, and I would love to amplify your voice.
Oh, well, thank you. It's J-E-L.
J-E-L-E-N-A, at peaceofaudience.org.
Excellent. Excellent. And I, my email is I teach peace yoga, but I will send that along. Thank you kindly and very much.
Thank you. I'm Patricia. I haven't chimed in either, and I'm not going to hold everybody up. I'm not currently a credential teacher. I was so moved by that lady because I'm in Central Valley, California, and on the May call, I'll express what I've been volunteering with for 6 months, which will alleviate a lot of the things that you were talking about here. I just wanted to point out a book that might be heartening for all of you, and you can hear the feeling in my voice. I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I had a Montessori. Thank you. I had a Montessori school years ago, and after a divorce, lost everything, the school, the land, some of my children, and lack of emotional intelligence, we call it. But then later, I sold World Book, one of the most exciting things I love doing. Workshops and schools and all of that, but because of the CD-ROM, World Book folded, the home sales end of it. And later, it was about, well, in 2006, I became an instructor of professional development for millennials, and I found out I was a teacher. But I was laid off, not my age. It was... they didn't want to spend money on the weekend, but everything you explained or expressed as a teacher is what I observed in that setting. I stayed mainly because of the millennials. I found they had been through much in the public school systems, and they were so filled with meaning and wisdom and passion for life. They just didn't know how to get it. And that's why I stayed with that. I'll leave you with the title of the book someone gifted me with recently, and it's called The Tao, like Tao, T-A-O, The Way, The Tao of Montessori. It's priceless. It's just brilliant, because I had mentioned this person that Montessori schools or environments were based on peace. And
yes, exactly.
I remember that years ago, how I would see peace just unfolded when you let the child be the teacher, not just dumping information on them. And I'm really saddened to hear a woman who just spoke on the data-driven. Yeah, we hear that a lot. But the hope is that you're here, Peace Alliance is here, and the children know it, and they deserve it. So Tao of Montessori is beautifully written, very elegant, and speaks to administration and some of the things you've mentioned here, done in one page at a time as the Tao was written. So thank you, and I'll look forward to participating again and supporting you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have some thoughts to share? Probably wrap this up pretty soon, but if there's somebody with a burning thought or feeling to share before we're done, there's still eight of us here.
This is Deborah again. I just a comment on what the person said about Montessori. One of the worst, I had a really bad experience in Montessori. I mean, with teacher abuse and everything. I was a classroom, whatever they call it, a classroom assistant or something in Montessori. And then I was also, I had a after school group. And I came out with a really, really, really bad feeling for Montessori. So it was so focused on like kids doing for themselves that sometimes the kids couldn't, you know, they weren't there yet. And I remember one teacher that was really, really abusive and really abusive to the kids. So, I came away with, you know, not liking Montessori. So I'm sure that a lot of them are different, that, you know, it's probably an individual thing, but yeah. But I haven't heard a lot of negative critiques of Montessori, but my experience was not good, so thanks.
I'm sorry to hear about that, Deborah, and thanks for sharing your experience. I'm sorry it was that way for you. Anyone else? Well, why don't we wrap it up then, I guess. Thanks to the last remaining folks who are with us. Thanks, Ngozi, for staying here and for your solidarity and friendship. And thanks, everybody who joined us. And anything further you want to connect with us about, you heard Yelena's email, yelena@peacealliance.org. That starts with a J. And mine is dan@peacealliance.org. And I wish you a wonderful night and week and whatever lies ahead. Thanks for joining us, and good night.
Good night. Namaste. Peace.
Namaste. Yes. Mm.